a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I just a reminder to turn off your cell phones before we get started, and the secretary will call the roll.
Bogalka, Frerichs,
here.
Frisley,
here.
Garnas, Hansen,
here.
Roden,
here.
Valley, Maher,
here.
Krebs.
Oh, we got a short quorum this morning anyway, I guess. So my first thing is, if you're going to be testifying this morning, remember to sign in. We got approval of a minute, so I have a motion to approve last. Motion by Ferrick, second by Roden. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the first thing on the list this morning is the confirmation of Stephen Perner. I guess I'll have opening remarks from Mr. Johnson.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Dusty Johnson, Chief of Staff for Governor Dennis Dugard. And the governor did ask me to make some brief introductory comments before you get an opportunity to grill Secretary Perner. I wanted to share one sentence that I thought was really, really interesting. It's the mission statement for the Environmental Services Division. Their mission is to provide environmental services in a customer service-oriented manner to help municipalities, industries, and citizens comply with regulations that protect public health, conserve natural resources, preserve the environment, and promote economic development. And that last part really caught my attention. Since 1979, Secretary Perner has been a part of our environmental regulators that understand that you can be someone who's dedicated to keeping this state as wonderful and beautiful and as pure as it is, while still fostering common sense development in the state. And I would tell you there are plenty of places in the country where Steve Perner might not be able to be the chief environmental regulator. But in South Dakota, he is a perfect fit with the values of the state, understanding how you can work that approach to embrace both the environment and development. I would tell you he has the full trust of Governor Dugard, who thinks he's the right guy for the job, and the governor would ask for your favorable consideration of his renomination to, again, head up the Department of Environmental and Natural Resources. And obviously, Mr. Chairman, it's okay with you. We'd like to have Secretary Perner step to the mic. Thanks.
Secretary Perner, please come forward and plead the fifth or whatever you need to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Steve Perner. Just a quick, real brief background on myself. Originally from Rapid City, South Dakota. My parents still live there. I have a bachelor's and master's degree in civil engineering from the School of Mines and Technology. In between those degrees, I served as a couple years in the United States Army as a commissioned officer. I've also worked for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency as a South Dakota State Engineer for a while. I taught college at the School of Mines as an assistant professor for a while. I came to peer to what was in the Department of Water and Natural Resources in 1979. I have served in various capacities since then. One thing I'm going to tell you that's I'm a little biased on this probably, but I think you've got the best DENR in the country, and it's certainly not because of me. It's because of the dedicated professional staff, state employees that you have working over there. Their average age is about 46. Their average years of service is 17. So we've got a wealth of experience, and I was truly honored when Governor Dugard asked me to stay on and continue working with that fine, great group of state employees we have in the department. Mr. Chairman, I'd try to answer any questions that you may have.
Absolutely. Any questions from the committee? Mr. Ferrix?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Secretary Perner, do you ever sense... And I have to phrase this correctly because, obviously, being involved in farming, we don't like to have any more regulations on us and things like that. But do you ever sense that due to the access of limited resources as a department, do you ever, sense the ability to not perform your duty? I'm not looking at just, regulating, livestock containment systems for agriculture. I'm looking at the whole gamut from a global perspective. I mean, do you ever sense that you aren't able to perform your duties because of the limited resources that you're provided as a department?
Mr. Chairman, resources are always limited in state government. I think we're the second smallest department in the executive branch in terms of FTE. But I think what you need to do as part of managing with limited resources is you have to prioritize. You have to figure out what's the important things that need to get done. You get those done on, and meet your deadlines and meet your schedules, and then you prioritize the least important things to do those when you do have the time to get to them. And so I think that's how we try to manage it, at least in the Department of Environment and Natural Resources.
Continue on.
If I may have a follow-up, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess the reason I wanted to preface that is because we have to be very delicate when it comes to these environmental issues, because we all know what is important to do our duty. But now if you take from the next angle as far as these projects, you know, whether it's the Hyperions and it's the, you know, the uranium and the TransCanada, who we are certainly welcome to have new business opportunities in our state, do those does it ever come to a point where obviously you have to look for outside help and assistance due to the nature of those projects?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we really don't rely very much at all on outside resources. When we started, for example, the Hyperion permitting under the air quality thing, we did ask for some additional authority of the legislature that year in case we needed to have some outside assistance. And our intent at that point was it was an other fund authority that the legislature granted us to. But as we got into it, we found that we really could permit a facility like Hyperion. For example, our chief air permitting guy that worked on that application is a chemical engineer, graduate from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. And I would venture to say at this day, even though we don't have a refinery in South Dakota, he knows more about refining than... well, certainly I do anyway, and really he goes up a perfect case was where the contested case hearing for that facility, for that particular permit, lasted 10 days. He was on the stand for a couple of those days, and his testimony was right up there with both the proponent and the opponent experts that they brought in from out of state, and had a huge amount of credibility with the board. So, again, I think all goes back to our people. We've really got some good, dedicated people that have good technical knowledge and really, really do care about the work they do.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Valley?
Thank you, and I apologize for being late. We had a discussion in Judiciary on immigration, and we went over. My question is, you've worked under the former governor for 8 years, and you're starting out a new governor. Do you see any change in the manner in which you're going to operate your department?
Mr. Chairman, I think both governors have an emphasis on economic development and on job creation. I think that was a strong initiative by Governor Rounds with his 2010 initiative. Governor Dugard, I know, is very, very strongly focused on growing our economy, creating more jobs, and all of those things that go along with it. So really, I think it's going to be more... I don't see any drastic changes in the priorities that have been put forth for like DENR in the past. You know, Governor Rounds always said, one of the things he said was, we roll out the red carpet, but we cut the red tape. And I think Governor Dugard, his philosophy is going to be very, very similar to that.
Follow up?
Thank you.
Any further questions from the committee? I'll have one for you, Mr. Printer. Did you come in under Mike Rounds, or were you here under the Janklow administration too?
I was appointed at first secretary by Governor Janklow.
Okay, all right. So you've been here for how long then?
Well, I started with the departments in 79.
Okay.
I think I began as secretary in about, my years are always rusty, but I think about 2000. Governor Janklow appointed me for, I think, the last 2 years of his term. Governor Rounds reappointed me, and now I've been honored to have Governor Dugard ask me to stay on for this administration as well.
Thank you, Secretary. And with that, I guess we're looking for a motion. Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move that we recommend the appointment of Director Perner to continue in his present position.
Second.
Motion by Hansen, second by Ferrix. Motion to advise and consent to the appointment of Secretary Perner to the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. All those in favor,
Mr.
say
Chair.
Aye. Oh, yep. Go ahead. Oh, discussion?
May I make a couple comments? I think that it's probably fairly logical that I make this motion. I had the opportunity to, this past summer, the E-Board chose the DENR as our agency to be reviewed, and of course, I chaired that, and I can share with you the in-depth familiarity that Secretary Perner has provided us with, and working with him. I've also had experience in working with Secretary Perner farther back as being one of the legislative members of the Oversight Committee on the water issues. And again, you know, what we see is what we get. He's very honest and straightforward, and recognizes the role that he plays both in protecting the environment, but also in the area of promoting state development. And I just strongly urge the support of the Senate in this confirmation. Thank you.
Further comments?
Mr. Chair.
Yep, Senator Farrakhan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would like to thank Secretary Perner for his willingness to work through us as far as questions we may have and always be very approachable. And I know when we had our tour West River with the Ag Committee, when I was serving in the House Ag Committee, he was very helpful to us when we got to see some of these operations. And I think I may not always express it, but I do need to give him credit for the work that he does accomplish with limited resources. I think he's able to do a very fair job for us. I just hope that as we have these bigger projects that come through our state, that we are still able to protect South Dakota, because our land that we have here in South Dakota is extremely important for all of us to continue to be productive citizens and, of course, still have economic development that is very sensible. So with that, I encourage support. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Any further comments on the motion to advise and consent? With that, we'll have the Secretary call the roll. They'll say aye. We'll vote aye, and those against will vote no. And I got, there you go.
Pagalka.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frizzly.
Aye.
Garnas. Hansen.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Krebs. Mr. Chair, 7 ayes, 2 excused.
Motion passes. Moves to the floor. Thank you. Next, we'll move to the confirmation of James Spies, Coddington County, to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. Anyone here? Oh, Secretary. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Ag Committee. My name is Jeff Falk. I'm the Secretary for Game, Fish, and Parks, and I'm pleased this morning to have a chance to introduce to you two new, well, actually not so new, commissioners for the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. In both cases, these gentlemen had been appointed by Governor Rounds to finish unexpired terms of previous commissioners who had resigned. I'll start with Jim Spies. Jim came to the commission when Governor Rounds appointed him. I don't remember the exact month, but it was sometime last summer. And he was appointed to complete the unexpired term of Commissioner Tim Kessler, who resigned. Jim's here today because of the timing of that appointment. He did not have the opportunity to come and visit with this body and certainly be confirmed by the full Senate until now. Governor Dugard, after the election, has reviewed Jim's appointment and has decided to again nominate him to complete that unexpired term, and this would be for a two-year appointment, because that this position will expire 2 years from now. Mr. Spies is an active sportsman. He is a life member of the Safari Club International, Ducks Unlimited, the Wild Sheep Foundation, Rocky Mountain Elk, Wild Turkey Grand Slam, Wild Sheep Foundation, the Boone and Crockett Club. I don't see here pheasants, but about every other organization, he's wearing a tie with the pheasants. Jim has attended our commission meetings for about 6-7 months now, and has certainly shown himself to be an astute sportsman and certainly a commissioner who has demonstrated his appreciation for the multiple values of all of our citizens and certainly the wildlife. Jim is the president of Spice Corporation, and he and his wife Francine have two sons, Josh and Ben, and are from the Watertown area. Now, I'm told that the folks from Watertown either are or were here in force with their blue shirts, and I'm asking you to please forgive Jim for not wearing his blue shirt if he gets a chance to come and testify. Secondly, I'm pleased to present to you and introduce Barry Jensen. Many of you may know Barry. Barry at one time served in the legislature. He was first appointed by Governor Rounds last fall to complete the unexpired term of Commissioner Mert Clarkson, who resigned just a few months before the expiration of his term. Governor Dugard is nominating Barry for a 4-year term, which is what you'd be considering today. Mr. Jensen is the current president of the South Dakota Association of Cooperatives and been on that board of directors since 2003. He's a member of Country Pride Cooperative and the Missouri Valley Insurance Company. He's active in church and serves on the Millett County Centennial Committee. We've been very pleased to have a chance to work with Barry. Barry, with his ranch background, he and his wife Katie operate the Jensen Cattle Company located in South Central South Dakota, and with his ranching background and his legislative experience and certainly his service in both church and on some of these cooperative boards of directors, he brings a really important perspective to our commission as we deliberate many of the issues that we look at and work on with regard to fish and wildlife management. So pleased to introduce both these gentlemen and appreciate your favorable consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Mr. Spies? Yep. Welcome to the Senate Ag Committee.
Good morning.
I guess we'll just have you start by introducing yourself, tell a little bio about you, and then we'll go into some questions and answers.
All right. I'm Jim Spies from Watertown. Born in Madison. Grew up in Watertown. Graduated from Watertown High School in 1964, attended South Dakota State, moved to Wappana, North Dakota, lived there from late 68 to 73, moved back to Watertown, and I'm president of Spies Corporation.
All right. Any questions from the committee? Any questions? Senator Valley.
I don't want you to feel left out and not get a question. So is there anything that you see that you feel needs a burning change in the way where your new job or your continue on in the job here of the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission? Is there anything new that you feel is important?
I've, Mr. Chairman, I've known some of my other acquaintances have been on the commission. I talk to them a lot. I think it's a well-oiled machine. I think it's a common sense program, very well managed. We have a wonderful staff. I don't see any red flags that I notice.
Follow up, Senator? Any other questions from the committee? Senator Farix?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just reading through, and first I welcome Mr. Spies. It's good to have somebody from Northeast South Dakota up here. Anyways, on the meandered water issues, again, I don't want to get to specifics, but I see you list that as one of your issues of interest and things like that. I mean, is there anything you could share with us without, we don't want to, of course, get to the controversial aspect very much, but Mr. Chair, if you may.
Mr. Spies?
Chairman, meandered water? Are you talking flooding issues, or are you talking tiling fields, or what are we?
I just see you have that listed as that's one of your main issues.
Well, flooding is a serious issue. You know, when you're looking at the agricultural, I'm talking more on the Big Sioux River, what I'm most familiar with, and I buy the Jim River all the time. There's some, you know, you have to look at a lot of that stuff, how we drain fields, how we build highways, how we raise crops, how herbicides, pesticides, feedlots, all those type of things. I know Isaac Walton in Watertown's worked on that for years, north of Watertown in that watershed for, what do you call it, where the runoff is and green areas and stuff like that. I think that's always going to be an issue. It'll be a huge issue this spring. I'm sure we'll have a lot of flooding back there again.
Yep. Follow up, Senator? Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Spies, if I'm not mistaken, weren't you on the Highway Commission prior to the appointment?
Yes, Governor Rounds appointed me to the DOT Commission in, I think it was 2005.
Okay.
And then he asked me to take Tim Kessler's Game Fish and Parks, finish his term out. Yes.
Follow up, Senator? Senator Roden.
Well, I was pretty well resolved to just allow these appointments to go through, but these are important appointments to the commission. I think probably they deserve a little more scrutiny than sometimes we give them. And so I'll pose the same question to Mr. Jensen, and I would just ask you to comment on your personal philosophy as far as the acquisition of land by the Game, Fish, and Parks. That's obviously a pretty politically charged topic, and it's garnered some attention during the recent gubernatorial campaign, but I think it's important that we get an insight as far as what their logic and train of thought is as far as the appropriateness as a government entity of the acquisition of land and assuming there are times that you think that it is appropriate, you know, maybe just your thought process as far as assessing that.
Mr. Spies.
Mr. Chairman, I think that there's some real opportunities in different parts of the state. The little that I have been around it, I think a tremendous amount of thoughts went through it. For the campers, the fishermen, and the hunting, if we don't protect some of this, take advantage of some of these opportunities, you'll probably never get another shot at them. And I think that the department's done a wonderful job of targeting certain parts of the state. And when an opportunity arises, they get a chance to maybe buy adjoining property or acres to enhance what we already have. I think we have to look at those opportunities. I'm not saying we buy here and there without giving it a lot of thought, and we can't have it all on the Missouri River, can't have it all in the Black Hills. The campers, they certainly deserve consideration on campgrounds and things like that. I think we really have to look at that, and I don't see any red flags that would, I don't think we have any big issues with that yet, but we could.
Follow up, Senator?
Well, let me ask you, you know, I've heard a lot of people defend the acquisition of land as, from the GF&P's perspective, as providing additional opportunity for citizens of the state. If that's truly the main motivation, do you not think that it makes more sense, given the enormous amount of money that we're paying for some of these tracts of land, that it might make more sense to use that money and put it in trust or whatever, use the proceeds or an equivalent amount of money to purchase hunting easements or rent walk-in rights to provide even greater opportunity and leave the land in the hands of private owners?
Mr. Spines.
Mr. Chairman, I think we look at all of that, but on some of these things that whether they're historical or if you have to build a larger camping areas, you might have to add to it. But I know we have a tremendous amount of leased walk-in areas and those things. I think we'll look at everything. And well, another, what's it, will it ever get cheaper? I don't think so. You know, I mean, if an opportunity presents itself, I'm not trying to be we're not trying to be the biggest landowner in the world, you know.
Follow up, Senator. I'm finished. Any other questions from the committee? If that, we'll let you step down and we'll go to looking for a motion from the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Frisley.
I'd love to confirm Jim's bias.
Commissioner?
Second.
Motion by Frisley, second by Farrick. Comments on that motion, Senator?
No, I think it's a good question.
Okay, thank you. Senator Farrick, comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this. I think I do welcome Mr. Spies and his endeavor to perform this. I hope that he will be open to suggestions, though, also from agriculture, because we are equal partners in this. And of course, we look at this wildlife fund money that is available to purchase land. Well, there's also farmers. And more importantly, there's young farmers that need to purchase land also. And it certainly, like you said, isn't going down. And so where we can reach that balance, I hope that is achieved. Campgrounds, I think we all support the effort as far as campgrounds. They make good sense. However, I wonder how much wildlife funds actually are able to be used for these campgrounds. It seems like usually wildlife funds are used for game production areas. But I think, so we need to make sure we're looking at of what's functionable also. But in terms of the water issues and drainage and things like that, there's a lot of work we have to do. And to think that we can't have drainage is going to be very difficult in our neck of the woods, and it needs to happen. And I hope that folks who are involved in game, fish, and parks will realize that, and of course the commission as well. We can work together, and I hope we will. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any further comments from the committee? Seeing none, we'll have the secretary call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those against, no. And secretary call the roll.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Farrick?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnas? Hansen?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Krebs? Mr. Chair, 7 ayes, 3-2 excused.
So the motion has received a favorable vote and it passes. Senator Frick, you want to take that appointment to the floor?
Sure.
Thank you. And I never asked Senator Hansen, would you want to take the appointment of Secretary Perner to the floor? Thank you. Senator Frisley, you want to introduce some guests today?
Pardon?
Would you like to introduce some guests in the...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have some friends here from Watertown today, and we'd just like them to stand up. And Watertown Day at the Capitol, would you please stand up and welcome to Senate Ag?
Yes, welcome. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I also would like to take the opportunity to introduce folks from Miller who are here for Miller Day today.
Oh, welcome. Thank you. Would you stand? Thank you. Thank you for coming to Senate Ag.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Roden.
Union Center Day is next week.
Thank you. I guess we'll continue with our agenda. The confirmation of Barry Jensen to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. Mr. Jensen. Good morning, and welcome to the hot seat. I'll let you start with your bio and whatever else you want to provide to us this morning.
Thank you, Chairman Maher and members of the committee. I have to say it's really a pleasure for me to come before you today. And, you know, many of us were allies in the fight against evil and promote good. The problem was a lot of us couldn't discern the difference between the two, so it always was an interesting debate. But, you know, I look upon this as a huge opportunity to again serve South Dakota. South Dakota is a great state, and it's really a diamond in the rough up here that we have, and you know, the part that I am going to be dealing with here, the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission, is a huge part of this state. And it's a great economic boost to this state. And so it is an important position, and I look upon it that way. As far as my qualifications go, Secretary Vonk spoke a little bit to that, but I'm a lifelong South Dakotan, born and raised down at White River. My grandfather homesteaded down there, so our roots are deep. And went to school at White River. I'm a graduate of Kansas State University and have a degree in biology and agriculture there. And being in the ranching business, deal with life, with wildlife on a daily basis. You know, most every morning I look out my window, there are deer standing in my yard and prairie chickens and the abundance of wildlife. So pretty familiar with the wildlife side of it. In South Dakota, you know, we've got such a great thing here in that we have a lot of wildlife, and it provides a lot of opportunity for hunting and fishing with the Missouri River Dam situation that we have going through the state. So I really look upon it as a great economic advantage to South Dakota, and we need to treat it that way, I think. That's important. And the, you know, the camping and the state parks are second to none, and bring a lot of people to this state to camp and to enjoy the outdoors here. So it's a really cool thing to be a part of that. After I graduated from Kansas State, I did teach for 4 years sciences, and my father decided to retire, and then I've ran the ranch ever since for some 40 years now with my wife, Katie. And you know, if I'd really been thinking, I'd purchased some discount Valentine candy and brought to you all here after the Valentine's Day yesterday, but I didn't think far enough ahead. But anyway, I really appreciate the governor appointing me to the position, and will do my best to serve the people of South Dakota in that manner.
Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Questions from the committee? Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I posed a question to Jim as far as the acquisition of land, and I'll qualify a little further. You know, I fully understand, you know, the desire, you know, as opportunities present themselves to expand a campground and things of that nature. But I'm speaking more specifically to acquisitions of an entire ranch or you know, you and I have sat through some debates and lived through the issue in the past. And so I just ask you to expound on your general philosophy in that regard.
Mr. Jensen?
No, I don't want to respond. No. No. I guess generally you'd have to say that I'm not a great proponent of a state purchasing a lot of land. Clearly, you have to look at every situation individually. And as Jim pointed out, you know, some land has great historical value and should be preserved, and it should be purchased if that's what's necessary to do that. And the park thing, you know, if you can expand a park a little bit, that's a good thing. Because our parks are full, they're continually full, and it's hard to get a place to park in the summertime. So, you know, those type of opportunities are kind of common sense things. But, you know, I would say as far as purchasing ranches, great large parcels of land by the state of South Dakota, I'm not really all that much in favor of that. I would definitely look at it, listen to the arguments, and make a decision. But my philosophy would be that, Senator Roden.
Follow up, Senator? Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Anybody? All right. I guess we'll close that. Close our committee to questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Jensen? Oh, go ahead. Senator?
Sure. I move that we advise and consent.
Oh, do we do that? Oh, okay. All right. Well, before we go to the motions, I guess we'll let somebody else testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's an honor to see you as chairman of the Senate Ed Committee.
Well, thank you.
Anyway,
introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and it's a very esteemed moment here to see you as chairman of the Senate Ed Committee, and you're doing a fine job. I come today to support the recommendation of Barry Jensen for the Game, Fish, and Parks. I think Barry will do an excellent job. He and his wife are family ranchers. They also have another aspect. He serves on a co-op board, on the Country Pride Co-op Board, and I've got to know him that way as well. And years ago, I asked him to run for the legislature, and he did that, and he ran and did a great job there, and he's a man of his word and a man of deed, and he's true to his word, and I think he'll be a great access. He'll be a great positive influence for the Game, Fish, and Park Board, and do support his nomination and recommendation.
Thank you, Representative. Back to motions. Senator Roden.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that the Ag Committee advise and consent the appointment of Barry Jensen.
Do I have a second?
Second
by Hansen. Motion by Roden, second by Hansen, to advise and consent to the appointment of Barry Hansen. Comments on that motion, Senator?
Well, yeah, briefly. It was an opportunity that I enjoyed serving with Barry as I think we were freshmen together 11 years ago, and I was always appreciated Barry's common sense and just his sound judgment and the calm, rational way that he received information and processed it. So I'm pleased to see him willing to serve in the capacity he is. So I would urge his support. Thank you.
Thank you. I will go to Senator Hansen. Comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I echo those things that said by Senator Roden. In fact, there are four of us on this committee. This may sound like kind of a stacked committee because there's four of us that came in as freshmen when you were here, and Senator Frisley was already here showing us the ropes, and it was truly a pleasure serving with you, and you didn't come in as an ordinary run-of-the-mill freshman. You came in with your feet on the ground running, and I know that you will approach your position with Game, Fish, and Parks in the same degree of enthusiasm. So my congratulations to you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I came in as a freshman, and Representative Jensen was already there. And I learned real quickly, when people get up to talk, you get to know them, where they're going to be. You can kind of peg what they're going to say. What I really appreciated about Barry Jensen was He always thought it through, and I know I always listen. Sometimes you know where people are going to come through, and they're going to say the same old thing, you know. Not necessarily with Barry. Barry is an independent thinker. He takes his common sense, he looks through it, and he'd stand up, and I'd always want to listen to the perspective that Barry Jensen had. And I encourage you to take that same common sense and that same independent bone that's in your body that your wife is smiling, so I know it's probably still there, and take that when you go to the board, because that is what's necessary, and I really appreciated it, and I have always appreciated your approach to issues. So congratulations, and I know you'll do a good job. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further comments from the committee?
Mr. Chair?
And Senator Rodin.
Well, I was considering telling a couple stories, Barry and I, and one encounter with Barry and I and Carol Hillard, and would you like me to expound on those?
Don't you have some?
With that, the motion on the floor is to advise and consent to the appointment of Barry Jensen to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. I'll have those in favor say aye, those in opposed say no, and the secretary will call the roll.
Bagalka.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frizzly.
Aye.
Garnas. Hansen.
Aye.
Rodin.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Krebs. Mr. Chair, 7 ayes.
7 ayes. The motion passes. Senator Rodin, would you take that nomination to the floor?
Yeah.
Thank you. With that committee, we'll move into our calendar for the day. We'll go to House Bill 1002, revise certain provisions regarding the documentation and data used to make adjustments during the assessment process that are factors that affect the capacity of land and the produce agriculture products. With that, we'll open to proponent testimony. Senator Rodin.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I will just make a brief introduction. I chair the advisory task force, and this bill, House Bill 1002, is a product of that advisory task force. I am the Senate prime, for no other reason, by default, because I was the only man left standing in the Senate.
Is that after the election?
Yes. Representative Dennard is here, and he can get into more detail, but I wanted to touch just in a nutshell what we're doing with Senate Bill 1002, and because there is some confusion. We work very long and hard to go to a productivity method of assessing ag land. And the bill before you today, the most significant change is we added language in to allow the use of compatible sales. And so when we see the word sales in this bill, it creates some confusion. I'm concerned about that confusion, because we have worked very hard and have gotten away from the sales as far as the way we tax ag land. I would submit to you, though, that this has nothing to do with sales per se as far as taxing the land. And let me explain very briefly. When we determine the productivity value on the average productivity for a county, they use many different adjustments to determine the values that they set within that county, within that county's borders. One tool that the assessors could use, in addition to what they already have, is a comparison of sales from one area in a county to another, because the sales do indicate productivity. So, again, as a whole, the land would be completely valued based on the productivity, but to allow the assessor to use comparable sales within the county would provide them another asset as far as providing equity in the way the land is taxed. That is a very broad view, and I will let Representative Dennard and Colleen Skinner get into more detail, but I just wanted to make sure that we have the mindset that we are not in any way going back to the use of sales as the model for determining the value of the land. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents to House Bill 1002. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning,
Morning.
Good morning, Chairman Maher and members of the Senate Ag Committee. Privilege and an honor to be here. Representative Paul Dennert from District 2, Brown County and Spink County mainly. Senator Roden, you know, kind of gave you the brief understanding of 1002, and I wanted to fully elaborate of what Senator Roden said. The model is out there for value in ag land on its productivity. This particular bill amends another section of law where it gives the directors of equalization some latitude to make local adjustments. And when the bill was originally drafted, there might have been some confusion the way it was originally drafted, and revenue came up with an amendment to further clarify, you know, the issue. So we didn't, no way want to tie in the productivity with the sales or the market, whereas Senator Roden made that strict comparison, or I mean, he wanted to make that very explicit, and that's what I want the members of this committee to understand. If you look at, and I always like to look at my county and probably my land, and Senator Roden touched on that, the productivity value for Brown County is a county average, and we all know that land across the county can vary in rainfall, it could vary in topography, and it also, you know, if some land comes up for sale, it you know, the sales could vary from one side of the county to the other, and a lot of times the soil rating will take care of that, but there's some other circumstances that need to come in. The other reason I had this legislation in my mind last year, and we thought it was premature because we hadn't even sent out the first notices and worked through the productivity model, so we didn't address it. The task force came up with this legislation, and I was a little gun-shy, I'll be real honest, to move it forward, but it was kind of interesting. Another task force member who is a director of equalization actually moved the legislation forward. And it came out of the task force, and it had opposition, Senator Roden. It did as we went through it. But I think the bill in its amended version today clarifies a lot of the issues that the task force had issue with. And then I'll just refer back to my director and what happened in Brown County. And I hate to say it, but Brown County to me was the, godfather of the land assessment because its variability or whatever you want to call it. Our director did draw some lines in Brown County last year and made it a local adjustment. We had a lot of local adjustments. She took them all out and then made a line and made some local adjustments based on, you know, history 20 years ago, some market. And it was appealed all the way to peer. And the hearing examiner refused her assessment of that land because there was now a place in statute that allowed her to make that adjustment for that reason. And revenue, I think, indicated to our director at that time that she said, what should I do? And they said, well, do it again. And she would have been very gun-shy to do it again just based on her history of coming between the hearing examiner here and peer. So I think the legislation is clarified very well, Mr. Chairman and members. I think it's in no way affects the productivity. It's just the basis to make a local adjustment. And maybe with that said, I could just hope maybe that this committee would be as easy to get along with as the confirmation of the past two gentlemen here on Gay Fish and Parks. But nothing is easy, and I don't mind some discussion, and I'll stand by for questions, and I think we have revenue to come forward on this issue as a proponent also. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Further proponents to House Bill 1002. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Colleen Skinner. I'm with the Department of Revenue. The department is in support of House Bill 1002. What this does, it gives the directors of equalization another tool to use in what their job is. Their job is equalization of the valuation. We do want to reiterate that what Senator Roden and Representative Dennert said, it is not to set the base value of the land. It is to quantify and justify any adjustments that the director may deem appropriate for the agricultural land, such as if on one side of the county you get more rain than on the other side of the county, and let's just say you get 10 inches more rain on one side of the county or the other. How do you quantify that into a value adjustment? The sales, which are truly productivity related, would give the director some indication of whether it should be a 2% adjustment or a 15% adjustment. They would only be able to use sales which are strictly productivity, such as if the sale is selling for 3 times more because it's close to Sioux Falls or Rapid City, that's not a productivity-related sale. They would have to feather those out and only use those that are productivity-based sales where they can see and justify any type of adjustments. Again, it's to quantify and justify any types of adjustments that they need. They don't make adjustments just to adjust the property. They need to quantify, they need to justify, and they need to document them. And with that, I'll stand by for any questions, and we encourage your support of the bill.
Thank you, Mrs. Thank you. Skinner.
Further proponents to House Bill 1002? Seeing none, we'll go to opponents. Any opponents to House Bill 1002? Opponents to House Bill 1002? Seeing none, we will move to committee discussion questions. Senator Valley.
Mr. Dinner? Question?
Make it easy, Senator.
I think it will. I'm trying to put a handle on this. Is this more of what I would call a fine-tuning to the overall productivity? We said they have the ability to fine-tune it in case of, you know, you got rocky soil on this side of the county, or you have different soil types, or you've got, so this, after you've made the productivity, then you need to do some fine-tuning. Is that, and we're just putting that in the toolbox of something that director of equalization can use as one of his tools to adjust that. Is that what we're doing? It's more of a fine-tuning?
Senator, thank you, and that's how I would perceive this. As you look at the land, and I always like to look at, you know, my land, because, you know, I understand it, know what it is, and know the soil rating, and as we look across Brown County, and I always say every county is a mini-state, and every township is a mini-county, and you know it's varied as you go across the county. But the productivity model is the whole county, as Senator Roden talked about. And in this particular legislation amends a statute that has nothing to do with productivity. It amends a statute that deals with local adjustments. And it puts a little, whether screwdriver or whatever you'd say, in the toolbox that the director can go out and make a local adjustment based on the sales and as revenue. Ms. Skinner did say, you know, it can't be a sale just because it was a sale. It has to go back to and verified and quantified and the whole reason through. And I think most directors, the sales are kept track of all the time, and it's a long answer to a short question, Senator, but thank you. That's my understanding of the issue and where it should be.
Thank you. Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Senator Roden, and you can just take this from where you are. But and maybe in some ways this is a little bit off base from this bill in itself, but mention is made of the fact that, for one, you mentioned this bill is brought forward as action from the Oversight Committee that functions. And I think most everybody on the committee has a reasonably good grasp of why that Oversight Committee was put in place and what the responsibilities really are laid in the lap of the Oversight Committee. But as a means of review, and perhaps for those people that are listening out on the Internet, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you'd just kind of give us a little bit of an update on what the purpose of the Oversight Committee is.
Well, thank you, Senator Hansen. When 2 years ago, when we finally got productivity passed in the legislature, part of that legislation contained provisions to establish an advisory and oversight committee as a watchdog group, if you will, of the productivity system, and to meet through the interim to review the the progress as we're implementing the new productivity system, and also to monitor certain aspects of the new productivity system, understanding that the model we ended up with taxes cropland based on actual productivity with an 8-year Olympic average. It uses that total, the county's total productivity times a landowner's share, and then it capitalizes that amount to determine the assessed value of the land. So a huge part of that equation, obviously, is the landowner's share, because landowner's share represents the input costs. I would, in my summation, that would be the biggest responsibility of that committee, is to review and recommend changes to the legislature as far as the landowner's share, because that's a key component in what's fair and equitable taxation. The grassland side of it, and just for purposes of edification and reminder of how we got to this point, we were going to use AUMs for determining AUMs, total productivity per acre times a landowner's share. Well, for grassland, the AUM models were simply, we went through about 3 or 4 different scenarios with AUMs, and I still to this day don't understand why they didn't represent a true and accurate summation of grassland across the state, but the short of it is they didn't. So we went back to cash rent data for grasslands. And, of course, cash rents are really simplify the equation because they already factor in the input costs. So on the grassland side, we use 100% of the cash rent capitalized to determine an assessed value. I've kind of chased a bunny a little bit, but it's kind of important to understand some of the details behind the legislation. But again, the Oversight Committee, one of the charges to review the landowner share. Legislation like we see in front of us today is another recommendation. We have another one of Representative Dennard's bills that I've testified basically in opposition to, even though I think that it has merits and we're in the process of trying to amend that. But it's also a subject that we're dealing with as far as the caps. We have a 10% cap on the assessment increases, and we have some issues in that regard that we need to address, and we have the perfect vehicle to sit down and look at those issues in that advisory task force. Mr. Chairman, thanks for your indulgence, but appreciate the question.
Thank you, Senator. Any further questions from the committee? Any further questions? Looking for a motion from the committee and or action? Or
Chair.
Senator Farix.
I move to pass.
Got a motion from Senator Farix. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Valley. Discussion on that motion? Comments? Senator Rodin?
Well, would make just one or two more comments in regard to this bill, because I think there were legitimate concerns about the confusion that this would create. I think the House made a couple of amendments that I think help clarify some of the confusion, and I believe on the page 1, line 10, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but they added the language affecting productivity, and at first blush that doesn't seem that important, but I think it clarifies that these adjustments that they've spelled out, including this one that allows the assessors to use comparable sales, it clarifies that we're talking about adjustments that are affecting productivity. This is all about productivity. Our entire system is valuing ag land based on productivity. They're just providing another consideration for the assessors to provide some equity and fairness within counties. And you can think of your own examples, but in Meade County, we have this huge chunk of real estate, and we've figured the assessors have used productivity to figure countywide average. Well, you can imagine the variances in value in Meade County based on even climate. We have a huge climate difference. And there's some, you combine those differences with market accessibility, terrain, a whole host of other issues. This just provides another thing that the assessors can look at as far as determining, using productivity, how to spread that across a county that's 120 miles across. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a further discussion on the motion on the floor. Seeing none, those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay. And the motion is do pass. Secretary, call the roll.
Bagalka.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Frizzly.
Aye.
Garnas. Hansen.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Krebs. Mr. Chair, 7 ayes, 2 excused.
The motion has received a majority of the vote of the committee members, so it passes. I believe that is everything on our calendar today. We do have, I didn't introduce the pages at the beginning. I'll have the pages come forward and introduce yourself and where you're from. And thank you for your help today. Come up right up here to the microphone.
Hello, I'm Frankie Lux, and I'm from Eureka.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Strowman, and I'm from Pier.
Thank you. Anything else from committee members? Oh, yeah. Representative Dennert.
Mr. Chairman, thank you to the committee. I have plenty of time, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but a lobbyist came and said my bill was up today, and I was under the assumption that I was supposed to have a notice on my desk. And this is both of my bills that have come to the Senate. I've never had a note on my desk saying that your bill will be heard in Senate Ag or Senate Tax or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to point a finger, but I was at another bill in Senate Tax this morning. I mean, it worked out fine because I was done there, but then I was ready to go down to appropriations, and a lobbyist caught me. So I had plenty of time, so I'm not worried about the time, Alan, but maybe for future, yes. A House bill, you know, right. Usually there's something on my spindle, and I don't know whose job that is, so.
I don't know either, but we will work on that.
Well,
we apologize.
You know, I think it's just an issue that.
What's that?
You haven't got the message yet, then, huh?
No.
No, I mean, maybe we just didn't want you to come over.
Well, that could be. You just said it.
How many times do we not have to send you a notice?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Roden.
Well, I've had the same issue with Senate bills in the House this year and in years past, and there's the LRC is who we need to talk to make sure they're doing a better job of getting them out, because I've missed a couple of my committee hearings on the other side too. So
yeah, nothing hurt. I just wanted to bring it to the attention that maybe, you know, staff, secretary or something can look into it more, but it's happened 2 out of 3 times to me, so but I've picked it up, so it's nothing hurt.
Our apologies.
Nothing lost.
Sorry.
Yeah, maybe, Larry, we don't want each other's chamber. But thank you, Mr. Chairman, for that.
Thank you. Thank you for the notifying us. Anything else to come before the committee? With that, members, we won't have a meeting on Thursday. We've done everything that we can possibly do. We have no House bills. We've got a couple appointments, but those are scheduled for March 3rd. And so with that, we'll look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Valley, second by Frizzly. Motion we now adjourn. Can we vote on this?
Yep.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.